So as we're picking up on Pei Aleph, we left off again, five lines down from the top, just to reorient ourselves a bit. We left off, or I should say, we were in the midst of discussing an interesting machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan. So remember, here's what everyone agrees with, which is that you can go ahead, a husband could annul two different types of nedarim, either if something is inui nefesh, afflictive in nature, or if it's dvarim beino leveino, matters that impact their marriage, which we'll discuss more today. The machlokes Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan in the Mishnah is ultimately what constitutes inui nefesh, what constitutes affliction. And again, yesterday we spent a good part of the day discussing Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan's view on bathing or lack thereof. So the Gemara says, remember, so we ended off yesterday with Rabbi Yossi highlighting a very interesting idea, which is that apparently Rabbi Yossi feels the need to launder one's clothing actually is even more intense than the need to bathe on a regular basis. Because ultimately, again, living with laundered clothing ultimately can chas v'shalom cause one actual mental damage. So based on that, the Gemara goes on that theme a little bit more. Shalchu mitam, they sent from there. Here, this is actually a beautiful Gemara. Hizaru ba'arbubisa, literally be careful with uncleanliness, which is another way of saying make sure to maintain a proper standard of cleanliness. Hizaru b'chabura, be careful, ultimately, again, with the group. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at the Ran Rabosai. Hizaru barbo bisa. Kilomer hizaru b'tachbosas u'berechitza. Make sure to launder your clothing regularly and make sure to bathe regularly. Hizaru b'chabura, the Ran says, lilmod Torah b'chabura. Make sure to learn Torah with the group. Shetamidim mechadidin zed zeh v'esharat. This is actually a very beautiful Ran. Because when you learn Torah with the group, students sharpen each other and students sharpen the Rebbe as well. As opposed to if you go ahead and you just learn by yourself, what's the problem? The problem, of course, of learning by yourself is that if you make a mistake, ultimately there's no one there to correct you, and over time you can end up reinforcing that mistake. Hizaru bibnei aniyim. Also, listen to this. Be careful with the children of poor people. Why? Shemehen teitzei Torah. Because the true Torah comes from the children of the poor. Ultimately, I mean, the children of the poor are the ones who become the ultimate Talmidei Chachamim. So the Gemara says, Shnei Amarchos, the Pasuk says, Yizal Mayim Midalio. So again, quoting to the Pasuk over here in Bamidbar, literally water will flow from the bucket, from the pitcher. But the Gemara is making a little bit of a play on words. Midalio, Lashon of Dal. Dal means the impoverished. That the water, i.e. Torah, will come from the impoverished. So this is actually amazing. So look at the Ran. Yizaru b'mnei aniyim. Be careful with the children of Aniyim. Lishtadal lelam them Torah. Make sure to teach them Torah. Shemehen teitzei Torah. The Ran. She'in lehem esek acher. Va'od shedatam shveilayim. Because you know the children of Aniyim have two things going for them. Number one, they're not busy running a family business. There is no family business. And number two, they're humble. It's an incredible, incredible mussar. That's first of all, to become a talmid chacham, one has to be humble. I'll say this. You know, the beauty of Gemara in general is humility is one of the most important midos that we could possess. Again, Chazal writes all the time that humility makes you into the kli, that you're able to be able to retain beautiful spirituality. Without humility, a person thinks they know everything, a person thinks they're smarter than everyone. Lamaisa, again, you can't acquire any real Torah. So poor people by definition have a sense of humility. Not only that, again, but they're also open to things. They don't look, unfortunately, a person, Chazal are not encouraging poverty. What you're just simply saying is it is interesting trend how sometimes the greatest Torah comes from the most impoverished circles. He goes on, this is an amazing Gemara. Why is it? Why is it, says the Gemara, that often Talmidei Chachamim don't have children who are Talmidei Chachamim? So interesting. Why is it that sometimes the greatest Torah scholars, their children are not great Torah scholars? It doesn't mean their children are not good people, but why is it that sometimes great Torah personalities do not have children or great Torah personalities? Rav Yosef, shelo yomru Torah Yerushihi, in order that people should not say that Torah is an inheritance. Meaning, by definition, if Talmidei Chachamim had children, you could think, okay, if it's in your genes, it's in your genes. They'll say, that's interestingly enough, you should know, it's one of the reasons, Chazal point out, that Moshe Rabbeinu's children did not inherit his position of greatness, in order that people should not say that Torah nitna b'yerusha. Torah is not an inheritance. If your father had it, it's no guarantee that you will have it. And if your father didn't have it, it doesn't preclude you from acquiring it. So Shalom Yerusha Hilad. Rav Sheshes Breit Rav Idi Amar Kedesh Shelo Yis Gadru Ala Tzibur. So both say Rav Sheshes Breit Rav Idi said, in order that they not become arrogant over the Tzibur. Now what does that mean? Take a look at the Rana for just a moment. Shelo Yis Gadru Shim Lo Haisa Torah Posekes Mehem Yagis Daitom. If Torah would just remain in the family, remain in multiple generations, they'd become a little bit arrogant. Now, if you take a look, by the way, interestingly enough, if you take a look at the Rush for just a moment, so the Rush has two beautiful interpretations here. The Rush says, Shelo Yomru Yerushahi Lahem, Shelo Yomru Acherim Yerushahi Lahem, Libnei Elu, Velo Matzlichim Anu Im Banu Lilmod. See, if children of Talmud Yicham would automatically become Talmud Yichachamim as well, people will say, if I have it in my family, great, but if I don't have it in my family, I'll never be Matzliach. Well, the other possibility is that if the children of Talmid Chacham, we don't want them to think that because my father is a Talmid Chacham, therefore, by definition, it's guaranteed for me as well. Therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam creates a certain dynamic to show everyone Torah is accessible, but what? But what? You have to earn it yourself. It's not going to be passed down to you because ultimately of who you're related to. Look at the next rush for just one moment. So again, the other idea that Rav Sheshes Breit Rav Idi says, in order that either Talmid Chacham not become arrogant or they not think that they have a superior position over the people. We'll say now, Marzucha changes this around. Marzucha over here is talking about why it is that Talmidei Chachamim often do not merit to have children who are Talmidei Chachamim, because sometimes they use their Torah to exert power over the people. So because they're using their Torah inappropriately, therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam punishes them by giving them children who are not Talmidei Chachamim. So this is different. This is ultimately the first couple of answers were all about preservation of Torah. This Marzutra's approach is Talmidei Chacham sometimes abuse the power that they are given through their Torah. Therefore, they have children who are not Talmidei Chacham. Now, we'll say, you understand, of course, that there are plenty of Talmidei Chachamim who ultimately have children who are Talmidei Chachamim as well. But the Gemara is asking is like this. One would have thought that it would have been automatic that a great Talmid Chacham would have children who are Talmidei Chachamim as well. But yet we see, yes, it does happen, but it's not automatic. It's not automatic. So what's the pshat? Why is it that it's not automatic? That's where all these reasons come in. Rav Ashi Amar Mishum Dekari Le'inshi Chamri. Rav Ashi said that sometimes the reason Talmidei Chacham don't have children or Talmidei Chacham is because they call people donkeys. I will say, now what does that mean? They call people donkeys. That sometimes, ultimately, again, they go ahead and they treat people, the common man, in a disparaging fashion. And if you go ahead and you treat people in a disparaging fashion, even if they're amaratzim, even if they're ignorant, even if they're not as learned as you are, then the mice, again, that unfortunately causes for one, we'll say, really, this is not like it's actually an incredibly clear idea. To be a Talmud Chacham is only one part Torah knowledge. I would say it's probably one part Torah knowledge and about 99 parts Avas Yisrael. You have to love the Jewish people. And by the way, that means not just love Jewish people who are like you, or who daven with you, or send their kids to the schools where you send your kids. The Avas Yisrael means loving every single Jew, you know, to the right, to the left, above, below, everyone. So a person calls people donkeys, which is another way of saying that a person disparages people, or disregards people, or marginalizes people. Such a person is not going to convey proper Torah to their children, and such children ultimately will not become Talmidei Chachamim. Ravina Amar Ravina says, I'll tell you why the children of Talmidei Chachamim often don't become Talmidei Chachamim. Shein mevarchin b'Torah tchila. This is actually very interesting because unfortunately there are Talmidei Chachamim who don't make a bracha on Torah before they learn. So what does this mean? Take a look at the Ran for just a moment. Shein mevarchin b'Torah tchila. Tchilas askam b'chol yom. Dahinu la'asok b'divrei Torah. V'ha'arevna v'asher b'char banu. So listen to this, that sometimes they omit making brachas. Remember again when Rav Olshan was here, Rav Olshan, he spoke about this very Gemara. So take a look for just one moment at the rush for a moment. They don't make brachas Torah. Now what does that mean they don't make brachas Torah? So remember again, there are many interpretations of this, but one interpretation brought to mind in Marshal is that they leave out the bracha of the harevna. They leave out the bracha of that. What does the harevna mean? Not just that we should learn Torah, make Torah sweet for us. If you don't make Torah sweet for your children, then ultimately it's a pretty surefire guarantee they're not going to want it when they grow up. So if again, if it's all about a set of it, you need to do this, you need to do that, and if you don't do it, there's going to be this punishment and that punishment. Okay, yes, every parent there certainly has to be accountability with one's child, but it has to be sweet. So if a person, if a Talmid Chacham who has a mass great knowledge is not making the bracha of a harevna, or more importantly, he's not living the bracha of a harevna, making it sweet and beautiful and delightful to others, he's not going to have children. What's the meaning of the pasuk? Mia isha chacham b'yavin zos. So the Gemara over here is quoting the pasuk from Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Mia isha chacham b'yavin zos. So who is the wise person and will understand this? Dover zet nishal chachamim ulevim v'lo pirshuhu. So mostly Yirmiyahu is referring to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And all of the Chachamim and the prophets are trying to figure out why is it that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed? And what happened? And no one knew. No one knew. Ad Shepir Shua Kodesh Baruch Hu Ba'atzma until the Ribbono Shel Olam finally told them, Tichsiv Vayomer Hashem Al Azvam Es Torasi. Because they have left my Torah. Because they have left my Torah. So the Gemara says, one second. So first of all, the Gemara is suggesting over here, what does that mean that they have left my Torah? Hainu lo shamo b'koli, hainu lo ho chuba. So again, the pasuk itself seems to be repetitive because it says they did not listen to my voice. They did not walk in my way. When it says lo ho chuba, that they did not walk in it, it meant that they did not go ahead and make a bracha on the Torah prior to learning. So both sides. The downfall, ultimately, again, of the Beis HaMikdash. The reason why we lost the Beis HaMikdash was ultimately because even though there was great Torah scholarship and there were a number of people learning Torah, but at the end of the day, people were not making Birchas HaTorah. Torah wasn't pleasant. Torah wasn't something that's beautiful. And if Torah is not made to be beautiful and pleasant, let's say again, I want to be clear on this. You understand, of course, when we say Torah is beautiful and pleasant, it doesn't mean it's without expectations. There, of course, are expectations. So, and this is, especially from a parental perspective, this is the very fine balance. So to tell my child, of course, you should daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you and come to shul whenever you want. That's not good chinuch. You can't come to shul whenever you want. Davening starts at a particular time. Good chinuch says be there 5 minutes before davening starts. So you could go ahead. But at the same time, there's a way to convey expectations. And there's a way to convey again what you need to do, but to convey it with love and to convey it again with a firmness, but the firmness ultimately again of the Ribbono Shel Olam loves you. What a privilege it is to be able to go ahead. And that's true with any single mitzvah. There's the expectation. Here's what you have to do, and here's how you need to do it. And here is the way, again, you fulfill the mitzvah, but again, laced with an incredible overlay of love. An incredible feeling of privilege. And apparently, again, what the Gemara is saying over here is not only the Talmid Chachamim sometimes not have children of Talmid Chacham because they lack this love, they lack this Vaharevna, or they don't convey the Vaharevna, that's why they lost the Beis HaMikdash as well. So the Gemara goes weiter. Isi Bar Yehuda, lo asalim sifta. Isi Bar Yehuda did not come to Yeshiva. So Isi Bar Yehuda did not show up to Shir. For 3 days. He didn't come to the base manager Rabbi Yossi for 3 days. Ashkeche Varmidus, excuse me, Vardimus, Rabbi Yossi. So Vardimus, who was the son of Rabbi Yossi, bumped into Isi. Amarle, my time alo asimar lebe medrasha da abahat klasiyom. So Vardimus said to Isi, where have you been? Right, where have you been? Why didn't she come to Yeshiva for the last 3 days? So this is very interesting. Amarle, kitame da avucha lo yedana hecha isai. So Isi said, to be honest, Vardimus, your father says stuff, and I don't know where he gets it from. Right? Meaning he says things, and I don't quite understand his svaras. Meaning I accept what he's saying, but I don't know the sources of it. It's also an incredible yisod that to properly convey Torah, it's not just enough to say do. You have to be able to explain as well. Again, you can't explain everything, obviously, and all the reasons for everything, but to whatever degree possible to explain svar, to explain logic. So Isi says, to be honest, I fell off the grid because Lemaisa, again, I didn't understand what Rabbi Yossi was saying. So Amarle Lema Mar Mai Kamarle, Dilmiya Dana Taima. So Vardimus says to Isi, you know, look, why don't you give me an example of something you're talking about that you didn't understand the logic? Maybe I'll be able to explain it to you. Amarle, Hadu Sainz, listen to this. So Isi said, fine, let me give you an example. We learned in a braisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kavisasan kod min l'chayi achirim. So I'll say, remember again, this was yesterday's daf. Rabbi Yossi said, if there's a well, or better stated, there's a spring in city A, and what happens? There's not enough water to provide for the needs of both cities. And let's say there's enough water to either provide for the drinking and laundering of city A, or just the drinking of city A and the drinking of city B with no laundering for city A. So what Rabbi Yossi will say, an incredible chiddush, Rabbi Yossi say, Rabbi Yossi says that the residents of city A are permitted to dam the well, right? To dam up the well in order to prevent the water from going to city B, in order to provide for their own laundering needs. So Isi says, I'll tell you the truth, Rabbi Yossi said this, like, where did he get that from? Mm-hmm. Now the truth is, the simple answer is what? The simple answer is he doesn't need a pasuk for that, because remember, he explained that already, that unlaundered clothing, according to Rabbi Yossi, in his belief, would lead to dementia or some type of mental instability, which is sakaras nefashos. But Isi thinks still, you got to have some type of proof text for this. Listen to this.
Anyone else see the irony of the son explaining for his father's Torah
right after this discussion?
Right after the whole son.
You don't get apparently, Rabbi Yossi conveyed it to the Ava with beauty. Very true. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, so Amarlay, so Vardima says, but I'll tell you, Dichsev, and he says, it's funny you asked me this one I know. What does the Pasuk say? Dichsev umigrusheyem yu lebentam. But say, this is talking about a beginning of that the Levim don't receive a portion in Eretz Yisrael. So every single Shevet has to give portions of land, fields, for which the Levim could live in. The Pasuk says, umigrusheyem yu lebentam. The open spaces will be for the Levitic animals. So first of all, the whole pasuk reads, "Vayu ha'arim ha'ele, vayu ha'arim lahem la'sheves." The Levim will live in the particular designated cities. U'migrusheyem yilaventam u'lerichusham u'lechol chayasam. And the open fields will be this for the Levim, for their animals, for their properties, u'lechol chayasam, and for all of their chayasam. So the Gemara says, what does that mean, u'lechol chayasam? My chayasam, ile machayo. If you want to say for their animals, that can be by lo chaya bichlal behemahi. We already said for the animals with behema. Elamai chayasam chiyusam namish. So maybe you're going to say chayasam literally means that they could live in these fields. Pshita. We know that. That's the Torah saying that they can be given these fields to live in. Elalav kavisa. Rather, chayasam means that they could use these fields for life-sustaining activities. And it says Rabbi Yossi, or says Bardimas. What is Rabbi Yossi life-sustaining activities are? The hainu. Elav kavisa refers to laundering. So what's an example again of a life-sustaining activity that can be done in the Migrash? Laundering clothing. Because without laundering clothing, that causes the uncleanliness, and the uncleanliness ultimately again could cause this dementia. So both sides, remember, it's not an ironclad proof. All Rabbi Yossi is saying is that there are certain we'll call activities of daily living that by definition are life-sustaining activities. According to Rabbi Yossi, what's an example of such an activity? Laundering one's clothing. Fine. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Ain elu nidre nidre inu nefesh. So we'll say, remember again, so the machlokis in Mishnah, as I mentioned before, was regarding bathing, that the Rabbanon hold that bathing, or a neder not to bathe, is inu nefesh, is ultimately afflictive in nature, therefore the husband has the right to annul it. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, held that bathing, or I should say taking a neder not to bathe, is not afflictive in nature, and therefore the ma'isa, the husband, cannot annul it. Says the Gemara, Ibai luhu. Rabbi Yossi, Maushi, Yafar Mishum, Tvarm, Shabeno, Lubeno. So it says Rabbi Yossi, says the Gemara, okay, so I understand if she takes a nether not to go out and bathe, that husband can't annul on the grounds of Inui Nefesh. What about on the grounds of Beino Lubeno? So a nether that impacts their marital life. So look at the Ran for just a moment. It's the first wide line on the Ran. Ibai Luhu, Rabbi Yossi, Maushi, Yafar Mishum, Tvarm, Shabeno, Lubeno. Berechitza Vikishut, the Pligi Alai Rabbanon. So remember again, maybe Rabbi Yossi holds you can't go ahead and annul this neder because of inui nefesh, but you can annul it on the grounds that it impacts their marital life. If she's not bathing, then obviously it's going to have some level of impact on their marital life. So maybe you can annul it on those grounds. I will say, so you say to yourself, so what's the nafkamina if he's annulling it because of inui nefesh and beino lebeino? We know what's the nafkamina. Nafkamina is if you annul a neder because of inui nefesh, that annulment is what? That annulment is forever, if you annulled on the grounds of Dvarim Shebeino Lebeina, then that annulment only works on the basis of, again, we saw Machlokes, whether it's until they get divorced or until she gets remarried. So let's even assume until she gets married. The point is, the annulment has a potential shelf life. So maybe when Rabbi Yossi says you can't annul because of Inui, you can still annul because of Dvarim Shebeino Lebeina, says the Imar Tashma, Am Rabbi Yossi, Ein Elu Nidre Inui Nefesh. Rabbi Yossi says these are not afflictive Nidarim. About Dvarim Shebeino Lebeina Havion. Oh, but yet they are considered to be Dvarim Shebeino Lebeina. So that seems to be quite explicit. The Rabbi Yossi says if she takes an edder not to bathe or not to adorn herself, it may not be Inui Nefesh, but it certainly impacts the marriage. And as such, he has the right to annul it. To which the Gemara says, no, maybe Dilma Lidido Kamar. Maybe Rabbi Yossi is talking to Rabbanon. He's saying the following. Lidi diafil darm shayin ala bein ala havyon. So Rabbi Yossi will say, the truth is, according to me, this does not even qualify as darm shayin ala bein ala. Rather, however, lidi dachu da'amrisu havyon nidre inui nefesh. I odu lid de'ein elu nidre inui nefesh. Or rather, you, the Rabbanon, you're trying to say that these are nidre inui nefesh. At least agree with me that it's not Inui Nefesh, and at most it's Dvarim Shebeino Lebeina. But I, Rabbi Yossi, personally hold that it's not even Dvarim Shebeino Lebeina. So what is the halacha? So this is the question we're faced with. When Rabbi Yossi says that, let's say, not bathing or not adorning oneself is not Inui Nefesh, but can it be considered Dvarim Shebeino Lebeina? Can it be considered something that impacts their marriage? So it says the Gemara, says Machlokas, Rav Ada Bar Ava Omer Mefer. Suppose Rav Ada Bar Ava says that it is considered to be Dvarim Shebeino Lebeina, and therefore the husband has the right to annul the neder. Rav Huna Omer Ein Mefer. Rav Huna says he can't annul it. Right? It's not even Dvarim Shebeino Lebeina. Why? Before you turn the page, look at the last line on the page. Rav Ada Bar Ava Omer Mefer. Deika Kapeid Lebal Haki. So Rav Ada Bar Ava says, no, even a husband has a hakpada if his wife doesn't bathe, or if she doesn't adorn herself. It's not afflictive, but it's definitely something that will bother him. Therefore, he has the right. On the other hand, Rav Huna says, no, it doesn't bother him. So the Gemara Amud Beis. So Shalom Atzinu Shu El Shemes Ba'afar Pir, because a fox never died in the uncleanliness of its own hole. What does the Navot say? That Lemaisa, again, what he's saying over here is that a fox may not be the cleanest of animals. So he has a house, he has a burrow that's a little bit, burrow, I don't know if that's the right word, burrow. A den. Take you to the zoo, which is in the back. Right, so what happens? So now it has a den. So even if the den is a little bit unclean, the fox knows exactly, you know, what to do without stumbling over things. So this, of course, is a bit metaphorical over here. So the Gemara says, the Ran says over here, Meis ba'afar pir, afar chafiroso, shu dar bo tamit, shemitoch shu ragil, sham eno niska ba'afar shal osa guma, kach zemitoch shu ragil. So even if his wife is not living up to the expectations of cleanliness that he would have liked, he'll still have relations with her. Ultimately, again, it's not going to impact their marital life in a way that there's going to be a cessation of intimate activity. Therefore, again, so Rav Ada Bar Ava says over here, Rav Huna says that it's not even, meaning if he would stop being intimate with her, that's one thing. But the truth is, he's not going to stop being intimate with her. Therefore, again, it's not even considered to be Beino Lebeino. So this is the fundamental machlokes. So I wonder, we have Rav Huna saying that according, remember, there's a machlokes in Rabbi Yossi. So on one hand, you have Rav Ada Bar Ava saying that lemaisa, again, if she says, I'm not going to bathe, I'm not going to adorn myself, it might not be inui, but it is dvarim shebeino lebeino. It impacts the marriage. Therefore, again, there is grounds for annulment. And Rav Huna saying, no, it's not even dvarim shebeino lebeino. Therefore, no grounds for annulment. Says the Gemara Tanya Kavasi Rav Ada Bar Ava, we have a braisa that supports Rav Ada Bar Ava, who says Rav Osa that it is Dvarim Shebeino Lebeino, and therefore there are grounds for annulment.
Why does Dvarim Shebeino Lebeino have to be an objective thing? Shouldn't it be subjective? In other words, I care if she sends them to buy this kind of box of tissues. If the husband feels that it's been in the middle, why is it?
No, because the Dvarim have objective classifications.
That's, it comes to be known to be not.
Yeah, and if you think about this, halacha. So halacha always works with objective classifications. Very rarely do we just use subjective classifications. You have to, because trying to figure out, again, when does he have the power of revocation? Again, it could be that there are cases of individual, but we're also looking for certain groupings. There's certain objective categories, qualify as beino lebeina. We've seen that throughout Nidarim. That Nidarim, even though you're talking about things that people say, lemaisa we create objective classifications and categorizations. So the Gemara says the following: Dvarim shabet sheish man inui nefesh. If it's a matter of afflictive nature, meaning if the neder itself is afflictive, mefer. Hazin has right to annul it. Bein beino lebeina achir. Now both say. Now remember, if a neder is inui nefesh, it makes no difference who it impacts, whether it impacts their relationship or whether it doesn't really impact their relationship, but it impacts the relationship with someone else. That makes no difference. What matters is if the nether is afflictive in nature, then by definition, he has the right to annul it. She'in b'hem inui nefesh. But if, let's say, the nether does not have any afflictive nature to it, then what? Beino lebeino mefer. So if it impacts their relationship, he has the ability to go to mefer. So both say, so this is, now remember, second category is neder that does not have inui. So if it impacts their relationship, husband has the right to go ahead and annul it. Beino lebein achirim eino mefer. But for example, if let's say the neder impacts her relationship with others, he does not have, but not their relationship, then he does not have the right to annul. Ketzah. So let's illustrate this. I'm sorry. Ketzah. So what's the case? Amra, konam peros alai. Let's say she says that ultimately, again, these peros, these fruit, should be asr to me. So what's the halacha? Hare zeyef yafer. So we'll say, again, in this case, she's asking all the peros on herself. If she's asking all the peros on herself, then what? That's inui. Once there's inui, he has the right to go ahead and annul it. Hare zeyef yafer. On the other hand, konim she'ivi ose lefi abo. But if she says, Konam, I'm not going to do anything to serve my father. I'm not going to do anything to serve your brother. I'm not going to do anything to serve your father. Lefi achi, or I'm not going to do anything to serve my brother. Shelo etein teven lifnei behemtecha. I'm not going to place straw in front of your animal. Umayim lifnei bekarcha, or water in front of your cow. Ein yachal lahafer. So her husband does not have the right to annul the neder. Now both say, now you understand, of course, in these cases over here, she is inconveniencing it, right? Meaning if she says, I'm not going to give straw to your animal, or I'm not going to go ahead and give water to your cow. So those are things that will inconvenience him. But lamaisi, you see that they do not pass the threshold of beino lebeino. Beino lebeino must be something that really directly impacts him in a significant way. Therefore, lemaisa, she says, let's say before she was taking care of his father. She was taking care of his. So again, lemaisa, these don't pass the threshold of beino lebeino. On the other hand, shelo ekol, if she says, I'm not putting on makeup anymore. Or shelo efkos. Efkos is rouge. I'm not gonna put on cosmetics anymore. The shelo eshamesh mitasi. Or I'm not engaging in relations with you anymore. In these cases, yafer mishum dvarim shebeino lebeino. These are things that he can know why, because they ultimately impact his life. So also you already see that beino lebeino also clearly has some kind of connotation of intimacy. Because if you notice again, the examples over here is I won't put on makeup. I won't apply the cosmetics. I won't have relations with you. So these are all things, again, obviously relations obviously intimate, but even the makeup piece is due with attraction. Next, shlo'atzia lecha mitascha. I'm not going to go out and make your bed. Vishalo emzog lecha sakos. Or I'm not going to pour you a cup of wine. Vishalo erchatz lecha panecha yadecha v'raglecha. Or I'm no longer going to wash your face, your hands, and your feet. Now that's just unacceptable. So I'm not going to do this anymore. So interestingly enough, in these cases, Ein sarach lahafer. They both said that interestingly enough, in this case, in those nedarim, the husband does not have to annul that neder at all. Now, why does the husband not need to annul the neder at all? So if you look at Rashi for just a moment, so Rashi says over here, Rashi says, Shlo atziya mitascha ein sarach lahafer, mishum derachmana zachile behani melachos. We'll say, remember again, back to our ksubis days, there are certain things that a wife is obligated to do for her husband. All right, so in these cases over here, at least in the eyes of Chazal, she was obligated to go ahead and wash his feet, wash his hands, wash his face, pour his cup, make his bed. These are things. I'm also, and I remember back to Aksuba's day, there's a quid pro quo over here. These are because he's obligated to do certain things for her. Now, I will say the idea that the Gemara is expressing is that if she makes a neder not to do certain things that she is obligated to do, then Lamai said that neder is not effective, and therefore there is no need for him to annul it because the neder itself never takes effect. On the other hand, but pay attention to this. Rabbi Gamliel Omer Yaker. Rabbi Gamliel, on the other hand, says no. Even in these cases where you want a taina that technically the neder does not take effect, because Lamaisa, again, she's obligated to do these things, Rabbi Gamliel says he still should annul the neder. Why? Shine emar lo yachel dvaro. A person should not profane their words. Look at the Ran for this moment. Bless you. Look at the Ran. Rabbi Gamliel Omer Yafer, afagav lo chayel nidra, even though the neder didn't take effect, afilu halchi tzarach lahaper midrabanan. Still the husband should annul the neder rabbinically. Why? Shelo takil b'nedarim, in order that she not take nedarim leniently, v'ta'avor al ba yachel. Well, this is amazing. So Rabbi Gamliel says something amazing. That even in cases where the neder does not take effect, and therefore, of course, no annulment is necessary, a husband should still annul the neder, if for nothing else to impress upon her and upon everybody the severity of nedarim. Because if she makes a neder and what, nobody says anything, there's no annulment, so what, you know what's going to end up happening is people will just keep bowing and assuming that whatever, the words are meaningless. Therefore, even though there is no need for annulment, you should annul anyway. We're going to see why that's important in just a moment. Dover Acher, another possibility was, what does it mean, lo yachel dvaro? What does it mean, he shall not profane his word? Mikan l'chacham she'ein matir nidrei atzmo. From here we learn that what? That a Talmid Chacham cannot revoke his own vows. Meaning, lo yachel dvaro, I cannot make my own word profane, which is another way of saying, I cannot annul my own vow, even though I might be a Talmid Chacham, anyone, I can annul somebody else's vow. I can't annul my own vow, I have to go to someone else to annul my vow. So now the Gemara says, man sham inon le. So we'll say, now remember what we're trying to figure out over here. We had a machlokes in Shitas Rabbi Yossi. When Rabbi Yossi says that, let's say, I won't bathe, I won't put on makeup, is not inui. So is it dvarm shebeino lebeino? So Adabar Ava said, it is dvarm shebeino lebeino, right? And therefore, again, husband has the right to annul it. Rav Huna said, it's not dvarm shebeino lebeino, and therefore can't annul it. We're bringing now a braisa to support the view of Rav Adabar Ava. So now the Gemara wants to articulate the proof. Says the Gemara, man sham inon d'amar shlo ekol v'shlo efkos dvarm shebeino lebeino havyon. Rav Huna said, now listen to this. What did this braisa say? This braisa said that if she takes a neder not to put on makeup or not to put on cosmetics, then what's that like? What did the braisa say? That husband has the right to annul the neder, not because of inui, but rather what? Because of dvarm shebeino lebeino. Whose opinion is that? The Gemara says Rabbi Yossi. Oh, it's Rabbi Yossi. Vikatani de mefer mishum dvarm debeino lebeino. And what did the braisa say? That if she makes a neder, I'm not going to put on cosmetics, I'm not going to put on makeup. That husband could annul it. Why? Not because of inui, but because of dvarm shebeino lebeino. Whose opinion is that? Oh, that's Rabbi Yossi. So from here you see what Rabbi Yossi, that like Rav Adavar Ava, that indeed Rabbi Yossi holds that even a dvarm that did not qualify as afflictive in nature, qualify as dvarm shebeino lebeino, and therefore husband has the right to annul them. Amar Mar. So we'll say now the Gemara is going to go back and pick apart the braisa a little bit. So Amar Mar. So we'll say, so it appears that right now we are supporting the version of Rav Adavar Ava, namely, that even in cases Rabbi Yossi will say the particular neder is not afflictive in nature, he will hold that what? That it may qualify as dvarm shebeino lebeino, and therefore again, husband would have the right to go ahead and annul it. So now the Gemara goes back and analyzes the braisa. So the Gemara says, Amar Mar, v'shelo eshamish mitasi yachem mishum dvarm debeino lebeino. So remember what happened. The braisa said that if she makes a neder, I'm not going to engage in relations. Husband has the right to annul that neder. Why? Because it's dvarm shebeino lebeino. So the Gemara says, hey Chidami, what's the case over here? Ilema de amra hana'as tashmishi alayich. So if she's saying that I hereby make a neder that the pleasure of relations with me should be usur unto you, lamali hafara, why do you need to annul that neder? Ha mishu bedesay. I both said, right, husband and wife have a conjugal relation, have a conjugal obligation towards one another. So if a woman says, if a wife says, I'm hereby making an edder prohibiting the benefit, the pleasure of Hana of Bia with me on you. She can't make an edder like that. Is not effective, right? It's a void nether. So there's no need for any kind of hafara. Ella, rather, what's the case? Ba'omeres hana'os tashmisheich alai. Where she says what? No. I'm not prohibiting anything on you. What I'm taking an edder is I hereby make an edder that the pleasure of relations should be usur onto me. Nothing to do with you. But the Anar should be usher on to me. So what's that, Lacha? In a case like that, Ukirav Kahana. And this is in accordance with what Rav Kahana said. Dem Rav Kahana, Hana'as tashmishi alayich kofem mishamashto. If a woman says, I hereby make an neder prohibiting the pleasure of relations with me upon you, in that case, literally, that neder is void. That neder is void because she can't make an neder prohibiting something that she is obligated in already. Husband and wife are obligated in a physical relationship with each other. However, if she says, Hana'as tashmishich alayich, I will say if she reverses it. And remember, we had this earlier in the Masechta. And she reverses it and says, I'm not answering anything on you. I'm only answering the pleasure of bia on myself. I hereby prove that I can't get this benefit. So what's the halacha yafer? We tell the husband he has to annul such a vow. Why? She'im ma'achilin esa adam davar ha'asr lo. Because ultimately, again, we never want to feed someone something that is asr to them. In other words, it will say, if technically she makes that neder, prohibiting, again, the pleasure of bia upon herself, and Einachinami, technically speaking, such a neder works. And we tell the husband, you better annul it because, again, whether it's Inui Nefesh or whether it's Dvarm Shebeino Lebeino, it will take effect. So, Man Tana Hodisanya. So, we'll say, so similarly, who is the opinion who says, who is the author of the following ruling? Disanya. Dvarm Hamutarim Va'achirim Nagubahan Isser. If you have things that are technically permitted, but others were machmir with it. Others will say it's a very interesting case. Let's say a situation where there's a group of people that observe a particular chumrah. They observe a particular chumrah. I don't observe that chumrah. I atarashay linog bahen heter kedei levatlan. I'll say it's just a din in Judaic sensitivity. So if a group of people go ahead and observe a particular chumrah, I don't observe that chumrah. I should not act in a permissive way in their presence. In their presence. So we'll say, is it important? So, by the way, you know when this comes up? Sorry? No, minhag ha'makom, something else. This is just a general halacha that, again, you have to go ahead and respect that which people are doing. I guess it's also called minhag ha'makom. You know, this comes up all the time. This is very misunderstood halacha. Yom Tov Sheni. Right? So let's say there's somebody from Eretz Yisrael who's here. Right? Let's say, you know, if you're here from Eretz Yisrael, you have to keep the second day of Yom Tov, at least publicly. Privately, something different, but you can't get in your car and go to the mall or do something else. Why? Because again, that's we're observing Yom Tov Sheni. So if people are observing something, you can't go. And this is actually halacha lemaisa, very, very misunderstood halacha. So you can't go ahead and just get in your car and do whatever you want, because what's happening? There are people of the place where you're living are observing a particular, now here it's not as much a chumrah, here it's not as much a halacha by Chutz Laretz, but the idea is that if you're in a locale where people are observing something, you cannot act in a permissive way in their presence. Kedei levatlon, in order to go ahead and somehow erode or take away from their behavior. Why? Mishum shene emar lo yachel devaro. Because the pasuk says, you shall not profane your word. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the Gemara over here is dashing this idea of lo yachel devaro teaches me that I should not cause others to profane their word by acting in a permissive way in their presence. Davar acher, another possibility is lo yachel devaro. What does it mean that, again, you shall not profane your word? Mikan l'tam t'chacham shein mefer nidre atzmo. From here, we also learn that what? That a tam t'chacham cannot go ahead and annul his own vow. So whose opinion is being reflected over here? Money? Rabbi Gamliel. This is the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. Because we also remember, what did Rabbi Gamliel say before? Rabbi Gamliel was the one who said before that l'maisa, even in situations where, technically speaking, you don't need hafara, you still should do hafara. Because Rabbi Gamliel is always concerned, ultimately, again, for not just what is, but how things look as well. Therefore, Rabbi Gamliel is also the one who says that if you find yourself in a locale where people observe a little bit differently than you, people perhaps are a little bit more machmir than you, you should not intentionally go out of your way to act in a more permissive fashion in order to undermine their behaviors. Why? Lo yachel devaro, because Rabbi Gamliel is the one who ultimately holds that one should hold themselves to a higher standard of behavior. All right, both sides. Actually, just take a quick look at the Rush for just a moment. So the Rush says, again, it's the first wide line in the Rush. Dvar hamutarid, sheyodin sheymutarid, ulahach mir nagu bahen iser. So we'll remember again, we're talking about in a locale where people ultimately, again, are machmir. They know what you're doing is a chumrah. They don't have to do it, but they're doing it anyway. Tzrichin atar midraban, shlo yabo'u lezalzo bedvar mahasurim. Rabbi Gamliel, who demands, so again, we'll say, remember, so Rabbi Gamliel would be the one who say that if those people want to go ahead and change their behaviors, what do they have to do? They have to do ataras nadar, they have to revoke the vow, even though technically speaking they shouldn't have to, because they recognize that they were just accepting upon themselves a chumrah. But if they want to change their behaviors, they need to do ataras nadarim. Rabbi Gamliel, he demachmir le'el b'nadarim ha'mitarim ha'atzrichim ha'apara. So therefore, again, on both sides, Rabbi Gamliel is saying like this, that if people in a particular locale observe a particular chumrah, and then I come along and say, hey guys, you know, you don't have to do this, right? The halacha actually says like this, so don't do that. If they want to change their behaviors, they're entitled to change their behaviors, but what? They must go through the mechanism of hataras nadaran to change their behaviors. Whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbi Gamliel. Because Rabbi Gamliel l'shitasa holds that when people have become embedded or have certain embedded behaviors, even though technically speaking they can change it even without hataras nadarim, they should still do hataras nadarim in order that what? In order that people take their verbal commitment seriously. I have the most of stuff up here. Shikoyach.
Thank you.